Medity is up next with the last episode of Full House.
Warning. Boy, boy, love. Don't like, don't read. Note. Joey, Jesse, and Danny are 36. DJ and Kimmy are 22. Stephanie is 17. Michelle is 14. I think these ages are correct. Sorry if they're not. I do not own Full House because if I did, you would know because Jesse and Joey would have been together. This is my first attempt at a Full House fanfic, so don't scream at me if it sucks. Jesse and Joey are kinda out of character. Sorry about that. I didn't mean for that to happen, but after I wrote it, I read it and they seemed kinda out of character. It's really not too bad, though. Please read and review. Joey walked down the street towards the house. As he neared the door, he saw Jesse waiting for him on the porch. Joey walked up and Jesse stood up and pulled Joey into a deep kiss. Joey woke up screaming. He couldn't believe he had the dream about him and Jesse again. He had been having the same dream every night for a week. He wondered what it meant. He had asked a dream analyzer, but she had said it meant that he was in love with Jesse. Joey refused to believe that analysis. Sure, it was true he had felt almost like he had some feelings for Jesse. He still refused to believe it. Jesse walked into Joey's room. Leaning against the doorframe and smirking, Jesse said,
"What's wrong? You have a nightmare again?"
Joey, blushing, said,
"As a matter of fact, yes, I did."
Jesse walked over to Joey's bed and sat down next to him.
"What was it this time?"
"Same old thing."
"You and me kissing?"
"Yeah."
Jesse pondered this a moment.
"I don't see why that would be considered a bad dream."
"You and me kissing would be crazy and stupid. First, we're both guys. Second, you're married. Third, neither of us has feelings for each other."
"You're right about two of those."
"Which one am I wrong about?"
"The one about having feelings for each other."
"I certainly don't have feelings for you."
Jesse sat quietly for a moment.
"I do."
Joey sat in shock for several minutes.
"You do?"
"Yes."
"I have feelings for you, too, but I was afraid to say it."
They looked into each other's eyes. Slowly, Jesse leaned towards Joey. Their lips pressed together tenderly. Joey and Jesse slowly pulled apart.
"I love you, Joey."
"I love you too, Jesse."
They gently kissed again. As they pulled apart, they heard footsteps coming towards Joey's room. Jesse quickly stood up. Danny, Michelle, and DJ walked into the room.
Danny smiled and said, "Hey guys, what you doing in here?"
Joey recovered first.
I had a bad dream and Jesse was just, calming me down."
"Okay then. So, Jesse, where's Becky?" DJ said innocently.
"She's staying with her mom this week. Her and the boys," Jesse answered.
Danny smiled. "Great! Then you can come help and make breakfast, Jesse."
Jesse smiled.
"Sure."
As he left the room with Danny and Michelle, he snuck a quick, loving glance at Joey, who smiled in return.
Joey looked up at DJ.
"So, DJ, why aren't you going with them?"
"What were you and Jesse really doing in here, Joey?"
"Just, talking."
"Really?"
"No, not really."
"Then what were you doing?"
I don't know if I should tell you."
DJ sat down on Joey's bed and said,
"Come on, Joey. You know you can tell me anything."
"Well, I had the nightmare again. I told Jesse and he said..."
"What did he say?"
"He said that he had feelings for me. And I said I have feelings for him too. Then we kissed."
"Oh my god, Joey, really?"
"Yeah."
DJ hugged Joey.
"Oh my god, I'm so happy for you."
"Why? He's married."
we can't be together.
Sure you can. You can find a way for your love to triumph.
Not unless he leaves Becky.
I guess you're right. I have to go pick up Kimmy. I'll see you later.
See you later, DJ.
DJ walked out of Joey's room and down the stairs to the kitchen. Danny and Jesse were the only ones left in the kitchen because Stephanie and Michelle had already gone to school. She walked over and hugged Jesse. She whispered in his ear,
Uncle Jesse, Joey told me what you two were really doing when we came up. It's too bad it won't work out between you and Joey unless Joey is worth you leaving Becky.
She stopped hugging him and said loudly, Bye, everyone. I'm off to pick up Kimmy. We're going to the mall. Jesse, think about it.
Danny looked at Jesse. What does she want you to think about? Nothing at all. I have some business upstairs. See you later.
Jesse walked up to Joey's room, where Joey was sitting in bed still. He smiled when Jesse walked in. Jesse walked over and sat down on Joey's bed. He gently kissed Joey.
Joey, I think I'm gonna leave Becky.
Oh, Jesse, no. You can't leave her and the boys.
But I don't love Becky anymore. I love you. I want to be with you.
Joey and Jesse kissed passionately. Becky walked up the stairs and past Joey's room. She walked back to the doorway of Joey's room. She watched as her husband sat lovingly kissing his longtime friend. Finally, she said, Jesse? Joey and Jesse broke their passionate kiss.
Beck, why are you home? Jesse asked.
Why am I home? Why are you kissing Joey?
Becky, I'm sorry.
Are you leaving me, Jesse?
Becky, I am so sorry.
No, it's okay, Jesse. I'll live. I just hope you can live with the guilt.
I won't feel guilty because I don't love you. I love Joey.
Danny, who had been hiding just outside the door through the whole argument, stepped into view. He then said,
Jesse, Joey, if you two choose to be together, I'll support you all the way.
Three years later, after Becky and Jesse got a divorce and Jesse and Joey got together, Joey and Jesse laid sleeping next to each other in a king-size bed in a huge, luxurious room in a beautiful Hawaiian hotel. And they woke up and smiled at each other. Jesse kissed Joey on the forehead.
Morning.
Joey kissed Jesse on the cheeks.
Morning to you, too.
It was the day after Jesse and Joey had gotten married. They were on their honeymoon. Jesse grinned.
Last night was fun, huh?
Jesse was referring to when they had had sex the night before. Joey smiled back at his husband.
Yeah, we should repeat it again tonight. And the next night, and every night for the whole 2 weeks we're going to be in Hawaii.
Joey and Jesse kissed passionately. When they broke apart, all Jesse could say was,
Have mercy.
The end.
I think I actually did a good job for my first attempt at a Full House story. I read it to my friend, who is like obsessed with Full House, and she said it was okay. She only didn't like it because of the gay love. Thank you for reading. Reviews are welcome and encouraged.
Okay. Kimmy's such a deadbeat, first of all. She's like 22 and still a DJ has to cart her around. I also like that, like, the impression that I got was that Joey and Jesse waited till they were married to have sex. Yes. Which is more than you can say for Teeth and Clown. So we know who has the morals
there. You promise!
I thought you did the best job so far of portraying the author's notes respectfully. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a characterization.
Yeah.
I liked your narrator voice. Your Jesse voice was somehow appropriate. The problem to me was Jesse and Joey had the kind of the same voice for the first bit of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of got different. Your narration of them kissing was sexy. The only complaint I had was, help me make breakfast. You changed to help and make breakfast, which I know is small. But you know these fanfic authors are temperamental, so.
Mm-hmm. I think the only time I had a problem with this was when they're first confessing their feelings for each other. I interpreted it as a little bit more dramatic than what you did, but...
I thought she did a good job of keeping the emotions fairly real. That was the other thing. Like, I thought she did a good job of emotionally for the characters.
Well, like, I didn't pick up any emotions when they were at the... You were right about two of those. Which one am I wrong about? The one about having feelings for each other? I felt that she could have... It could have been a little bit harder for him to say.
Yeah, maybe. I think they both already knew they had feelings for each other.
Well,
their love is destined.
I don't know. I felt like to make it a little bit more realistic, to maybe have it harder to say. I don't know.
I thought you did a good job. I enjoyed this read. I thought you did a good job of reading it fairly straightforward. Like, you didn't go crazy with it.
Yeah, and you have a nice narrator voice.
You do. I like this. Good job, Melody.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Haft is up next with the finale of South Park.
That pass was killer, Stan muttered to Clyde. They sat at a booth, one on each side, in a little diner while watching the football game. Kyle was to meet them there in a few minutes, so they sat talking for a bit. Clyde's eyes suddenly lit. Why are you with him? He blurted, staring at the blue-eyed boy in front of him. Stan raised an eyebrow, tearing his eyes off the TV set.
What?
I said, why are you with him? Why are you with Kyle? Clyde cocked his head, trying to look innocent.
Why are you asking?
Stan was appalled at this question. Clyde had never really talked about Stan's homosexuality after he had begun dating Kyle. It seemed like one of those subjects that was better left alone.
Because...
Clyde muttered, looking at his fries. Suddenly, his eyes snapped to meet the others.
I could make you so much happier,
he purred. Stan's eyes widened, his mouth opening and closing with unspoken words.
What the fuck are you-
You're hot, I'm hot, and we'd make a perfect couple. I could show you things you've never seen before. Clyde leaned forward a bit, staring up at Stan through his lashes. Stan stood motionless, disgusted by his seduction.
Dude, seriously, what the fuck? I thought you were straight.
Oh, but I'm not, Stan. I'm tired of hiding it. I want you.
I'm with Kyle, Clyde. I'm not about to leave him for you.
Answer my first question, then, Clyde hissed, his opal eyes still sizzling with lust. Why are you with him? Stan's gaze turned cold.
You want to know why I'm with him? How about this? Whenever he walks into a room, I feel like maybe I could live just one more day. Whenever he smiles, I'm reminded that, hey, there's a reason for me to be here. Whenever he laughs, I can feel the energy and life surge through my veins. I love how he wrinkles his nose like a rabbit when he's frustrated, and how a little crease forms between his eyes when he's mad. I love how he folds his french fries in half before eating them. I love how instead of watching a movie, he's determined on figuring out the plot, the climax, and the ending in the first 5 minutes. I love that he never, ever fails to make my life 10% brighter with every word that comes out of his mouth. He's my life, my everything. And he's my heart.
Stan jumped up, his eyes burning with passion, and turned to exit. He was met face to face with a stunned, teary-eyed Kyle. The slightly shorter man wrapped his arms around the taller one, pouring his extreme adoration into it. Halfway through the hug, he flipped Clyde off and whispered in Stan's ear. I love how you always seem to care about me, no matter what. I love that when you write your name, you cross the T's in Stan after writing every other letter. I love how you sit with your legs stretched in weird positions. I love how you have the power and strength of a lion, but the grace and careful steps of a tiger. I love how you're always calm in dire situations, and you always seem to get us out of trouble, even though you have a panic attack on the inside. I love you. Never, ever would hurt me, cheat on me, or damage me in any way. I love how you know me better than I know myself. You are my soul, my stars, and my heart. Clyde hissed from behind them, taking out a pistol. And I love how you would both sacrifice your lives to save the other. Stan's deep eyes froze, his arms laying around the red-headed boy.
You wouldn't dare!
Oh, but I would. Clyde's crazy expression turned to Kyle, the gun pointed between the emerald green eyes. As the gun cocked, Stan's grip tightened. He calculated how long it would take to push Kyle under the table. The bullet whizzed out just as Kyle was brutally shoved under the booth next to him. He screamed as the bullet sank into his lover's chest, a ragged burst of pain erupting from his mouth. As Stan sank to his knees, he slowly looked at Kyle. He took out a small box, fumbling with it.
My heart,
he whispered, collapsing and smashing his head against a corner of the table. Sobs racked Kyle's body as he slumped over the dead man, attempting CPR. Someone called the police and ambulance, having Clyde taken away, and Stan rushed to a hospital with Kyle at his side. Stan was put into a room. He was in critical condition. He was in a coma and had experienced severe blood loss. The doctors said in his condition, he might not make it through the night. Kyle sat next to the bed, his eyes free of tears and his face emotionless. He'd sobbed for hours on end, and he was now in the hopeless stage. Curiously, he noticed that Stan's fist was clenched tight around something. It was strange he still had something in his hand after all the commotion with the ambulance and all. He pried the small object from the bedridden man's fingers and stared deeply at it. It was the box Stan had fumbled with before collapsing. It was a velvet ring box. With shaky fingers, Kyle opened it. A golden band was tucked neatly away in it, snug inside the velvet. With fresh sobs, he read the inscription that was carved into the gold. My life. My everything. My heart. Kyle softly kissed the boy's lips, slipping the band on his ring finger. I love you, he whispered, smiling slightly. The long, now continuous beeping silenced Kyle as nurses rushed in to tend to the now dead boy. Stan was gone.
Oh, no.
Sam, why the accent, number one? Why the accent?
It was like a BBC documentary. It was a bad choice for the narrator. Also, the pacing was really rushed.
Rushed.
Yeah. I have a few things about the music in the background, too. The first was, I kind of like that you put Let's Get It On in the back.
But at the same time, like,
it was distracting.
Yeah.
The songs you had were kind of distracting. The Lady Gaga one especially was distracting and seemed inappropriate for what was going on in the story.
Yeah.
And then the Love Lift Us Up Where We Belong was, I guess, the most, I don't know.
Fitting.
Yeah, but you...
At the same time, still, like...
The Lady Gaga one especially, because I knew it and I was trying to place it at first. So I, like, totally zoned out on the story because I was trying to figure out what song it was. In a weird way, I'm not endorsing your narrator's choice because I didn't think it was appropriate, but it was something I could picture on South Park, that narrator voice. But for this, yeah, it was not good at all. It was a really bad choice. And everybody else has done pretty good tonight, so this could get you cut unless somebody completely fails.
Yeah. It made me crack up that you gave Kyle, like, a black man's voice, especially since he wanted to be a basketball star and everything. And then, I liked your Stan voice. I really did.
I did, too.
Maybe it's because it was, like, the most normal of all your voices. Or at least fitting, and... It threw me off because you told me that you were going to try and do, like, South Park character voices. So I was expecting that, and then, like, all of a sudden, oh, none. But, except for Stan. The pacing was rushed, but it wasn't horrible.
It really messed me up for a little while at the beginning. Like, it was just so quick, like, the pacing was.
Yeah.
It was read really fast, and then... There was no pause between, like, the dialogue and the narrator.
I think maybe Kyle needed to be a little overcome with grief and everything later on.
Well, just back to the pacing, everybody is between like 8 and 10 minutes, and yours went like about 6 minutes, and that was with 20 seconds of music at the end.
Yeah.
And everybody has the same, they were between 1,000 and 1,500 words, all the stories.
Yeah.
Also, was that you and Monty singing Love Lifts Us Up Where We Belong, or was that the actual recording? I couldn't tell.
I think it was
him. I think it was him and Monty as well.
He also put another thing that he did in here.
His Let's Get Around,
was that when Clyde pulls out the gun.
Uh-huh.
It's a song he wrote.
Nice.
I like that song, actually. But
There were some good things in this, but there were too many bad choices in this.
Yeah.
I hope you pull through, because you've been doing a really good job and you've been really strong this season.
Mm-hmm.
But Tara was really strong this season too and had one bad week, and now she's not here anymore. So at this point, one bad week could be the end of a contestant. But we'll see what happens. It's not over yet. Yeah. We're only halfway through.
Good luck, Sam.
Good luck.